onset that having a good reputation is one thing, but having a good character is another. You may, due to a good presentation about you and of yourself, have a reputation for being a good person and having a good marriage, while the reality of your situation may be far from your reputation. And as you look at the Jewish leadership back in the days of our Lord's first coming in the nation of Israel, they had a derangement syndrome level of hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had the control of the press or the media in their day. They don't have a technological press like today, but they had a way to get the news out. And guess what? They got a lot of fake news out about Jesus. How many have heard of fake news? Yeah, there is such a thing as fake news and bad press. And bad press can really give you a bad reputation. That's what happened with Joseph Goebbels of Hitler. He was the man that was over the press, over the news media in the days of Adolf Hitler in the Third Reich of Germany. And he gave a bad reputation to the Jews. He had people believing Jews were no better than rats. And they treated them like rats. And he had the Poles and gave them a bad reputation. So that Germany attacked Poland, everybody cheered. I'm saying that the reality of your character is one thing, and your reputation may be another due to fake news. And that's what happened to the Lord Jesus. He had a bad reputation at this time that we're reading in Luke 23 because of bad press. And they lied about him. They said, oh, this guy, he wants to be a king. And he wants to overthrow the Roman government. And he wants to have himself be the king and rule over. And so he's guilty of insurrection. I remember them saying about January 6th that the people there, January 6th was a bunch of insurrectionists. And they were violent and all of that. Well, I was there and it's not true. They were not in the main, just a few. And some of them were working for the government. I'm saying that the fake news may say one thing and the reality may be another. And that's why Jesus said you need to judge with righteous judgment. You need to see and get the true scooperansky on things. And they were lying about Jesus, saying he was an insurrectionist. And the people were made to be afraid because they said, if he's going to overthrow Caesar, you know what's going to happen. Caesar's going to march his armies into here, and those armies are going to kill us and take over our country, and we're going to lose our jobs, our money, our peace. Everything's going to go haywire. Man, we got to get rid of him. So they talked the people in to handing him over to capital punishment and getting rid of Jesus. But by doing that, they actually caused the Romans to come down upon them. Because when they rejected Jesus, what happened? The Romans came down and destroyed their temple in AD 70, and the nation was judged. And so don't believe the lies of Satan that try to lie about Jesus Christ and keep you away from him. But notwithstanding all the lies, all the fake news, all the derangement syndrome against the true Messiah, his true character stood unblemished, untarnished. It was still intact in spite of his reputation being torn to shreds at this time in Luke chapter 23 that we're reading. And by the way, in the midst of these lies about the Lord, God Almighty led the Roman governor called Pontius Pilate to make a statement about the Lord's true character that went far beyond just the fact that Pilate observed that he was not guilty of any crime. Pilate was right. He was not guilty of any crime against the laws of Rome. You know, there are a lot of people that tried to get our president in jail. They tried to get him impeached and voted out and all of that, and then none of them succeeded. So he was not guilty of any of the crimes that he was accused of, but they themselves are. But I believe Pilate's observation, that's going to be the text for the sermon this morning, went far beyond that. It went far beyond the fact that he was not guilty of any crime against Rome. That was true. He was not. But it went far beyond that. What was the statement that Pilate made that I believe that God had there for a prophecy that we can understand? He said this, "I find no fault in this man." I am saying this morning that that is the title of the message. "I find no fault," Pilate said, "in this man," as he pointed to Jesus. And yet he went along with giving him the death penalty. Though he disagreed with it because of political pressure, because he didn't want to be unpopular, because the crowd was calling for it, he went along with the crowd. By the way, don't go along with the crowd. Go with the Christ. Go with the Christ. And usually the crowd is wrong. Usually the majority is wrong. The fake news is often wrong. And so this morning I want to preach on three things. I find no fault in this man. And I want to say, number one, the lies of Satan sullied his reputation but could not stain his character. Let me say something. Jesus did good. That's all he wanted to do. He went about doing good, especially in his public ministry. He went about doing good. But the Bible says, "When I would do good, evil is present with me." And what I want to say to you this morning, if you follow Jesus and you actually do good positively in this world, this evil world, evil will come against you. If you want to fix things, and the theme of our church this year is remember things to fix in 2026. That was our last year's theme, but our new year. And Jesus went about to fix things. If people had devil possession, he cast the devils out. If people were sick, he healed their sicknesses. Even if they died, he raised them from the dead. He went about doing good. He fixed things. And if you would do good, the Bible says that evil is present with you. You say, what's evil? Well, evil is sin, but not all sin is evil. Evil is worse than just sin. It's a conspiracy. Listen to me, a conspiracy to harm somebody or to harm people. I believe Bill Gates is evil. I believe Anthony Fauci is evil. I believe that Barack Obama is evil. There are a lot of people that are sinners, and Donald Trump's a sinner, but he's not evil in that sense. I am talking to you this morning that when you would do good, just like our Savior, evil is present. Was there not a conspiracy against our Savior? Was there not secret meetings? The Sanhedrin met at night illegally. They were not supposed to meet at night under Jewish law. They met at night in order to conspire how to take him and arrest him and to get the people to turn against him and to crucify him and to kill him because they wanted their cushy position. I'm just saying to you, if you have a pure heart, you follow the Savior. The servant is not better than the master. If they crucified the master, don't be surprised if you get evil against you and going against you. But it says of the Lord, it says in the book of Acts, Peter preaching, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. You know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will do positive good in this world. I thank God we have workers in this church, I believe, who've been anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're doing good through the bus ministry. They're doing good through telling people about Jesus and serving God and teaching Sunday school and so on and so forth, serving God in the local church. Satan is afraid of that kind of person. He's hateful of somebody that will not sell out to his power structure and that will lead you to do good for your God and for the glory of your God. He is afraid if you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because he is the unholy spirit and he knows the Holy Spirit is more powerful than him. What does the Bible say? Greater is he that's in you than he, Satan, that's in the world. He knows it. I remember when my best friend at the time, Charlie Ware, we were in Bible college together. He was the first pastor of this church, and he began to be lied about, and they began to attack him. He's an African-American guy, played on the basketball team at our college. He's the first pastor, my best friend, and we planted this church together. And I remember they started lying about him, and he went to one of the great professors in the college who was a great man of God named Wendell Kempton. And he said, "They're lying about me, Dr. Kempton. They're attacking me. It's tough." He said, Charlie, that's just part of the game. You have to understand when you would do good that evil will come against you. And some people, when that begins to happen, they get all worried about their reputation. They get all worried. You know what you need to do? You need to yield your reputation to God. You need to give your reputation to God. I remember when I was serving God in this church and seeking to do good as a pastor, and I remember one of the men in the church told me, "If you keep preaching the way you're preaching, if you keep doing what you're doing, your already damaged reputation, pastor, will suffer irreparable harm." And I had to come to the place where I had to choose between my reputation and the reality of what God wanted me to do. I made the right choice. I hope you'll make the right choice. Obviously, Jesus made the right choice, because they said when they nailed him to the cross, when he was hanging up there, "Come down from the cross. If you're really the Messiah, prove it. Come down." You think he could have come down? Absolutely he could have. He could have saved his reputation and come down and displayed his power. But if he did, every one of you would have to go to hell and pay for your sins. But he stayed there to do the will of the Father and was not worried about his reputation. He was concerned to pay for your sins. And that's why the psalmist says in Psalm 37, here's what it says: "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." I remember our youth pastor saw me going through a hard time some years ago. And I was going through a hard time. My reputation was being ripped and attacked. I've had that happen numerous times in my ministry, I might say. And I remember the youth pastor was observing it. And he said, "You know what, Pastor? It's time to mow the grass. It's time for God to mow the grass." And I believe that's true in America right now. Those that have attacked the duly elected president, it's time for them to be served justice. It's time to mow the grass. And Jesus, when they led him to the cross, he said, "Don't weep for me." He said, "Weep for yourselves." He said, "If they do this in the time of the green tree, when they have the opportunity to accept me and be blessed, what's going to be done to them in the dry?" And he was thinking, first of all, about the burning of Israel when the Romans came and burned the temple down, and later the day of the Lord's judgments. And he was saying, "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourself, you see." I'm just saying that I find no fault in this man. The lies of Satan sullied his reputation, yes, but could not stain his true character. And let me say this, do not let evil people distract you from doing good. It says, overcome evil with good. You know, you ever played the game, put your hand on, then another hand, and you keep doing that. And when somebody does evil, do more good. When they do evil, do more good. It just keep going and going like that. Don't stop. Don't stop what you're doing, bus worker. Don't stop what you're doing, Sunday school worker. Don't stop what you're doing, given to God's work and being in this church, even though there may be people say, oh, that church is this and that and the other thing. Don't let it stop you from doing good. The Bible says the Lord Jesus, in the midst of the attacks, that he set his face like a flint to stay on his mission, to go to Jerusalem, knowing that that would mean ridicule, mockery, loss of reputation, and even the loss of his life. Thank God for that. Thank God for a president that's not in it to get rich. Have you noticed all these politicians, they go to office poor and they come out billionaires? Notice that? They're stealing. They're ripping the people off. I'd rather somebody come in rich because they made their own money and give and not be like that. And then get shot at and go down and have blood and come back up. Now, Donald Trump got shot at and went down on the platform and came back up bloody. Our Savior did better than that. He not only got shot at, he got crucified dead, went into the grave 3 days and three nights and came up victorious. We have a wonderful Savior, and I'm saying that this man, I find no fault in this man, is true, but the lies of Satan sullied his reputation, but it could not stain his character. He kept on going and did not get thrown off. Remember when Peter got thrown off and he took his sword out and he was going to defend him and he got into a side battle? And some people get in all these side battles. You stay with the main thing. What's the main thing? Getting people saved by getting them to Jesus. I am so thankful. I got to lead somebody to the Lord yesterday. Day before, I got to lead somebody to the Lord. The day before that, I got to lead three people to the Lord. I'm saying I want to stay with the main thing, to lead people to Jesus. And sometimes I see people and people say, oh, that teenager, they're such a troublemaker. Hey, I was a troublemaker. My mother had to send me to my grandmother's house to get me out of harm's way because I was causing harm. I was a troublemaker. But when I realized I was a sinner on my way to hell and I met Jesus Christ, I have peace now. I want to do good now. I want to serve God. That's what some of you teenagers need. You need to see you're a sinner on your way to hell and call upon Jesus like the thief on the cross did. And he got saved. And Jesus said, today you're going to be with. This is real. We're talking heaven, hell, life, death. It's all real. And so I'm saying I find no fault in this man. The lies of Satan, they'll attack a good man and sully his reputation, but they cannot really stain his true character. And in the case of the Lord, that is so true. But there's a second thing I want to say, and that is, I find no fault in this man. And second thing is, the Lord had to stay sinless to save you from your sins. You see, my wife uses this illustration when she's talking to people about Jesus. She says, why I can't die for you. Why can't my wife die for you? Now, my wife's a good lady, but she can't die for your sins because she has her own sins. You say, not Mrs. Bloom. She's perfect. I'm married to her. She's not perfect. And if that's true of her, it's true of me many more times. I can't die for you. And by the way, a pope certainly can't die for you. And a priest can't die for you. No way. Mother Teresa couldn't die for you. She's a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Pilate said, who? I find no fault in this man. And the Bible says that he was the spotless Lamb of God. There was no sin in him because if he would have sinned even one time and thought one bad thought or said one lie or did one wrong thing, could he die for you? No, he would have to die for himself. And that was why he kept himself, one of the reasons why he kept himself from sinning. Now, Jesus is called the last Adam, but there's a difference between Jesus, who is our representative and Savior, and the first Adam who represented us in the Garden of Eden. Adam in the Garden of Eden was in a beautiful garden, and he was tempted by a beautiful woman, his wife, and he sinned immediately. But the Lord, the last Adam, was in a howling wilderness. And he was tempted by Satan in a wilderness, not a beautiful garden. And he refused to sin. Adam was innocent, but he became guilty. Boom, when he sinned right away, one time being tempted by Eve. The Lord was innocent, but he did not sin when, remember, Satan repeatedly tried to tempt him to sin. Adam, when he sinned, was not only in a beautiful garden and the Lord in the wilderness, but Adam had a full belly. He had every need met in his life, and yet he still sinned. The Lord had been starving, and he hadn't eaten for 40 days. Starvation set in at day 21. And yet he was tempted with food. He did not sin against God. You know, he was perfect. Pilate said what he said. I find no fault in this man. And the Bible says there was no sin in him, and that's why he could die for our sin. You know, today, the Jewish people, many of them, are looking to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And they need something in order to ceremonially purify the items and furniture of the temple. And you know what that is? It's a red heifer. That's a red cow. Numbers 19. And it has to be, listen to this, perfectly red. It can't have one white hair. I wonder if I looked on your head if I could find one white hair, some of you middle-aged people. You may cover it up, but it's there. I try to cover it up, but it's there. And I'm just saying, you can't dye the red heifer red. That's covering. That's reputation. You know, we try to make ourselves look good. I remember seeing somebody step in a hole one time, and they stepped in a hole, and they looked stupid, but they stood right up and look like they didn't step in the hole. You know, we try to keep our reputation good. We try to look good for the public. But really, behind the scenes, you know that God knows what's in your heart. And you know. And so that red heifer has to be perfectly red. It can't have a spot. Now, they had a farmer in Texas, a rancher, that donated 5 red heifers. And the Jewish law in Numbers 19, the Torah, said it has to be such and such. But then the rabbis, they even have extra rules beyond the Bible, and it has to pass that. And they just offered a red heifer as a sacrifice to practice, but they said it was good, but then one hair or something was wrong with it, and so it's not qualified now. And they're trying to get that red heifer, and in 2,000 years they haven't got the right red heifer, but they're working on it, and I believe it's going to happen. Well, that's just a picture of Jesus. He is the perfect sacrifice. Satan couldn't find one blemish in him. He tried, By the way, Satan will point to you the first time you do something wrong. He'll try. He wants to bring you down. But he couldn't bring our Savior down. He couldn't get him to sin. You see, you inherit your sin nature through your father all the way back to Adam. But he wasn't born from a father, an earthly father. The heavenly Father made Mary pregnant. He had no sinful nature. He was pure. He wasn't from Adam. He was a head of a new race. He was the last Adam. He was the spotless Lamb of God. And what a wonderful thing that is, that we have one person from Adam all the way through human history that never sinned in his thoughts one time. He never said one sinful word. He never did one thing wrong. And by the way, if you believe upon him, one day you will be sinless. Did you hear me? One day you will not sin with your words anymore. One day you will not sin with your thoughts anymore. One day you will not sin with things you do anymore. That is his goal for you. He is the firstborn among many brothers. I'm glad I've got a sinless elder brother who is my Savior. I'm no longer in Adam, my first father. I am in the last Adam, and I died when he died. I'm buried when he's buried, and I'm risen again to a new life. I'm born again. Amen. Have you been born again? You need Jesus in your heart. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Let him in, and he will be the one to wash you for your sins. Now, he stayed away from sin, not only to please the Father, but here's what he said. He did it for your sake. He said, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself. That means I set myself apart from anything sinful. He said, and for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. See, Jesus knew that he was on a mission, and if he got into sin, it would ruin his mission. You know, some people, you're tempted with selfishness. Some of you young men, God may call you to preach like I'm doing. But if you sin and go the other way, then you're not going to be able to be a preacher. So you have to make a choice. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm not going to do things to please my friends. I'm not going to. My grandfather said he was called to be a dominie. He was in the Netherlands and in Holland, my paternal grandfather. He said he was called to be a dominie, but he decided not to do it because of his friends. They mocked him. They said, oh, holy boy, oh, holy guy, you're in this Christian thing. And he decided not to do it, and he paid for it. He paid for it. And when he heard I was called for the ministry, he took out what little money he had and he gave it to me in tears and said, I didn't follow the calling, but I'm so glad my grandson is doing that. And I was his firstborn grandson. And I was doing that. I believe my grandpa's in heaven now. He's a godly man, but he didn't sanctify himself to be a preacher. If God's called you to be a preacher, you get in the Christian school, you go to Bible college, you do it all. Don't care what your mom says. Don't care what your dad says. Don't care what your friends say. Do what God wants. I said, do what God wants. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness today. Do what God wants. And Jesus said, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Thank God that he did that for us. So stay away from sin, not only to please God, but stay away from sin for the sake of your wife or your husband or your children or your brothers or your sisters or your friends. I had a friend of mine years ago. When I was in Grand Rapids as a boy, in elementary school and later in high school, I don't know how old I was, but my friend Bruce, he said, our grandma is staying with us. And I said, oh, yeah, I know, your grandma's staying at your house. He said, but she does the dishes. I said, oh, okay. He said, but when she does the dishes, she's getting older and she lets food stay on the forks. It's like stuck on the forks. And I don't want to eat with those forks. When she washes the dish, he was complaining to me. You know what? That's a good picture to us of if you let sin in your life, God won't want to use you as a fork, as an instrument, as a tool. You need to stay away from sin so that you can be used of God. You need to be clean, thoroughly clean, so that you could be used of God. Like the priest, as we said in Sunday school, they had to wash at the laver. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little mind, what you think. I'm saying keep yourself from sin so that you can win more to the Lord and help more who need, so you could be clean. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. And number one, the lies of Satan, yes, they sullied his reputation, but could not stain the character. Number two, the Lord had to stay sinless so he could save you. And he did. Thank God there's one person. David sinned and he failed. Solomon sinned and he failed. Abraham sinned by lying and he failed. Adam sinned and he failed. All people have sinned and they failed. Thank God there's one that didn't fail. And we celebrate his sinlessness. Even Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. And by the way, I've been saved for many years. I was saved when I was 17. I was born again. And it changed my life. And I have done a lot of sins since I've been saved. I'm not perfect. But you know what? He's never sinned one time. Never failed me one time. I find no fault in this man. And the third thing I want to say is the Lord stayed sinless by surrendering to the Spirit of God. Let me say that again. The Lord stayed sinless by surrendering to the Spirit of God. The Bible says this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. You see, why was he able to offer himself without the spot or stain of sin upon him? Because as a man, listen to me on this one, he yielded himself to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit led him not to sin. Do you know if you don't want to sin, you should follow the example of the Lord and yield yourself every day to the Holy Spirit of God? In other words, you're going on a hill, and if you just put the car of your life in neutral, what's going to happen if you're going up a hill? Well, you're going to backslide. You're going to go backward. You need to keep that car in drive. If you're going to avoid getting sucked into sin by the people around you, you have to keep yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. You have to keep going forward following Jesus, and he will lead you like the Holy Spirit led Jesus to offer himself without spot to God. He did it through the Holy Spirit. And he did it by continually offering himself to the Holy Spirit of God. And he is your sinless example of that. Now, there was a great evangelist that stirred me up. He heard the quote by a preacher, and the quote was, the world has yet to see what God can do with and in and through a man who is wholly and fully surrendered to God. And you know what Dwight Lyman Moody said when he heard that quote? He said, by the grace of God, I will be that man. He said, if God says jump and there's a wall, I'll jump and let God make a hole in the wall for me to go through if need be. I'm saying that the Holy Spirit of God will lead you to offer yourself to God, and then he will keep you from sinning because you're going forward with the Holy Spirit. Now, we have a law of gravity. The law of gravity pulls us down, and our sin nature pulls us down. The law of gravity says whatever goes up must come down. It pulls it down. But that law can be overcome by another and higher law. What is it? Put this in an airplane and let it take off, and this thing will defy the law of gravity because of the law of aerodynamics. When you're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit and you're surrendering to the leading and promptings of the Holy Spirit as He prompts you according to the Word of God, you are not walking in sin. And so that is what our Lord did. He yielded to the Holy Spirit all the way up till Him being led to go to Jerusalem, being arrested, being mocked, being tempted to come off the cross, and all the rest of it. And He completed His mission until He said, "It's finished." And then He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." You say, "Well, I can't do that." No, no, you can't be sinlessly perfect, but you can shoot for it. And you know what? How do you do it? One day at a time. There was a guy who was an alcoholic, and he gave up his alcohol. And he said, "I'm not going to drink, but I can't think about my whole life. I'm not going to drink again, but I can this day focus upon not drinking again. This day I can focus upon not being an adulterer in my heart." One day at a time. One day at a time. And finally, you'll see Jesus. And Jesus finally said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." He had no sin. He did it one day at a time by yielding, by surrendering himself to the Holy Spirit. I think of a great preacher named Jack Hiles. Every day he would say about 7 times a day, "Father, I yield myself," or "Holy Spirit, I yield myself to You as one that's alive from the dead. Lead me to do and say and think what Jesus would do were He here in my shoes today." And then he would do what the Lord led him to do each and every day. That is the way to live like Jesus lived. And because He was sinless and could die for our sin, Jesus gives you this counsel this morning. He says in 1 John 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Aim for the target. Bullseye, 100% don't sin. But when you sin, and if you sin, then you can confess it. And Jesus Christ will cleanse you and get back up and get right back at it again. "I find no fault in this man. The lies of Satan sullied his reputation but could not stain his character. The Lord did stay sinless to save you from your sins. And the Lord stayed sinless by surrendering to the Spirit of God." How about you? Will you follow His example? How about you? Will you today recognize that you're a sinner, and one day, listen to this, you're not going to be able to stand because He's going to bring all your sins out and you're going to be judged for them. But I show you a better way. Why don't you go to Jesus and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. You're sinless. You're the Savior. I'm putting my trust in You." And the Bible says if you do that, you'll never be judged. You'll be saved by Jesus, and you'll be able to follow in this good way of living a life of surrendering to Him. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed this morning, every eye closed, please. And I'm going to ask you to think about this.